The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
But you said Jesus set me free. Well, then why am I not free? You said I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. So why am I still in a mess? You said that He would give me beauty for ashes. But why is my life still falling apart?
Why do I continue to suffer? What a huge question. And it's one that Joyce is going to help walk us through today. It's also a question that we receive quite often from a lot of you in a lot of different ways. Here's one example from Twitter. Gabrielle from California asks, how do I get the immediate miracle I need? Well, we cannot determine God's timing, but He is never late. And today, Joyce will help us to understand what it is we need to be doing when she answers our question, why do I continue to suffer?
In Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, there are scriptures that carried me through many of the first years of, I might say, my very confusing walk with God. Because very often we think, well, you know, I've got Christ now, I'm going to church, everything should start turning around in our lives. But it doesn't always happen just that way. I was in a large denomination and I took instructions in the church and I joined the church, and interestingly enough, not much got better in my life. Now, I did have some knowledge inside of me that of Christ as my Savior, and I heard a good foundational message about grace. I understood grace. I understood the doctrinal things that we need to understand. I heard good teaching about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ. But what to do with my everyday life, I did not know at all. And in 1976, God touched my life in a real powerful way, and He gave me a real hunger for His Word, and I began to study the Word. And I began to realize that I had many, many, many problems in my soul that were left over from the abuse in my childhood. You see, very often, if we're in a circumstance that's hurting us, or maybe as a child you grew up in a situation where you were being hurt, maybe you weren't given love and attention, maybe you had a lot of verbal abuse, some angry person telling you you're no good all the time, or always finding fault with you and saying critical things to you, you'll never amount to anything, why can't you be like your brother, why can't you be like your sister, whatever it is that angry people say. Or maybe you were sexually abused like I was by your dad, your mom, somebody else in the family, a neighbor. Maybe it was one or two times, maybe it was many years, like what I went through. Maybe you were physically abused. I know people that were locked in closets, denied food, beaten unmercifully because they had mentally ill parents or angry parents. It's amazing the horrible things that people do to other people. But one thing that has really helped me is to remember that hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. I don't think there's very many people who just get up every day and think, well, I'm just going to see how many people I can make miserable today. I really think that people many times are acting out of their own pain. And what Satan wants, of course, is for someone to hurt us and then for us to be angry and bitter and resentful, have a chip on our shoulder, spend our life feeling sorry for ourselves, get into all kinds of addictive behaviors, and then spend our lives hating somebody else and hurting somebody else so they can then turn around and do the same thing. And then there it goes from generation to generation to generation. But I'm here to announce good news to you tonight that if you've been hurt in the past, it does not have to go beyond you to anyone else. You have the privilege of speaking the name of Jesus and believing in the power of God to not only completely heal you and make you just as if it never happened to you, but to never let it go on to anybody else in your generation. And that is wonderful good news. Amen. Give God a big praise. In those early years, I needed so desperately to believe the promises of God as I was trying to study this and walk it out in my life. I'm not going to tell you that if you've been hurt really bad and you've got a big mess in your soul, your mind is messed up, your emotions are messed up, you don't know how to make right decisions, maybe you want to be in control of everything, or maybe you've become real passive and you don't want to make any real choices, you just kind of float through life and wait to see what's going to happen day after day. It's going to take some time and some diligence and some study and some prayer to walk out this healing that is yours by virtue of the blood of Christ. What we have legally as a gift from God, we have to learn how to apply experientially in our everyday life. And sometimes people get confused because they say, but you said Jesus set me free. Well, then why am I not free? You said I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, so why am I still in a mess? You said that he would give me beauty for ashes, but why is my life still falling apart? Because all of those things are, they do belong to every one of us. Every person watching by TV, you've ever been hurt, anybody's ever abused you, misused you, you've been abandoned, you've been betrayed, you've had peers in your life make fun of you, you've been rejected, whatever it is, and you're emotionally wounded right now. You're what I would term a broken-hearted person. The good news is Jesus has already set you free. He has already set you free. Now, part of my job as a teacher in the body of Christ is to teach you how to walk out of those prison doors, that all those prisons that already have open doors, to teach you to see what's yours and to believe it enough to reach out and begin to put it into action in your life. It's a wonderful journey. Absolutely amazing, wonderful journey. How many of you think you understood what I just said? At least to some degree, okay? And it helps to understand that because then you're not wondering, well, if I'm saved, what's wrong with me? Well, you know, you can be saved, but maybe you haven't renewed your mind yet. I was saved, but I mean, my mind was a garbage pit. I didn't know how to think right. I was critical and judgmental and suspicious and angry, and many of my thoughts were dark and lonely, and I didn't know that every time I read this, I was learning how to think different. If we know how valuable this is, we'll spend a lot more time in it than just a few seconds a day, maybe on a good day. Amen? My emotions were a mess. I didn't know how to get along with people. I was a nightmare in relationships. And my will was messed up. I went from one extreme to the other. I either had to be in control, or if I got around somebody stronger than me, then they would control me. So I would bounce back and forth from being controlled to being in control, and being controlled to being in control. And that's not the way that God wants us to live. And I'm kind of giving you a little picture of some of the problems that I had, because I want you to know that even though I was saved and going to heaven, I was miserable because I needed healing in my soul.
Powerful stuff from Joyce, so important. And she'll be back to answer, why do I continue to suffer, in just a moment. But first, we have a guest today who really understands what Joyce is talking about. He endured pain for a long time due to abuse in his life until he discovered choices he needed to make to experience freedom. Tony Gilmore is here with us. Pastor Tony, thank you so much.
Such an honor to be here today.
I know that as Joyce is talking about those hurts and those choices that we have to make and facing things that hurt so badly in her childhood, that you really understand that.
Totally. You know, growing up in a household with a mother who suffered from a bipolar disorder, there were some pretty sketchy days. Yeah. You know, I remember a particular incident at the age of 14, coming home from school, I was a freshman, and walking in the door, and my mother hadn't been on her medication. She comes barreling out of the kitchen with the butcher knife and yells, "I brought you in this world. I'll take you out."
Wow.
You know, as a 14-year-old, having no real idea of what the disorder was doing to her,
yeah,
I run out of the house, and it would be begin to be a series of times where I would actually run away from home just to be safe until my dad got home from work. So it was pretty scary.
Yeah. How did that shape the way you saw yourself?
You know, it caused me to begin to live with a mindset of trying to please her. I began to think that I could control what was going on with her if I was
a
better
kid. You could
keep her happy? Yeah, if I could keep her happy. And so it started a series of mindsets that would cause me to make decisions to not only please her, but live to be a people pleaser for everyone I was around. And so it shaped how I would be probably for the next 16 years or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
At what point did you begin to just be angry? You know, just feel like if you had treated me differently, maybe I wouldn't be suffering the way that I am, or maybe I wouldn't be having these problems.
You know, it's interesting. As a teenager, you can't even think in those terms. I was just angry with everyone.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until I had become an adult how angry I was at my mother. And so I saw every person as an opportunity or an adversary, if you would, to my future. Mm-hmm. And so everything I did was self-preservation. I honestly believe that day at the age of 14 when my mom came in and threatened my life, I stopped living and started surviving.
Wow.
And so everything I did was just to survive the day or the moment or whatever I was walking through.
And you talk about suffering.
Yeah.
That really is suffering. There's no joy in a life like that. There's no hope. There's no promise.
It was interesting because the feeling of abandonment, even though she was right there in front of me, was something that, you know, a young man needing the love of a mother, there's nothing like that. And to have that as a void in your life, well, let's just say it would cause a series of decisions and events for the next 16 years that would leave me at a place where I almost wanted to take my own life.
Wow.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was saved at the age of 21, but it would take 9 years for me to get free. Mm-hmm. Going to church service, listening to messages, but there was a compartment in my heart that I held captive from God. But I was actually, I had given my life to Him, but only part of it.
Yeah.
It was at 30 that I made the decision, okay, I'm giving you everything.
Was it because that pain was too much to face that you didn't want to give that to Him, or was it because you didn't have the trust to do that? Why do you think we hold things back?
I would say both. I would say that I didn't trust Him enough to share those intimate details, which is crazy when you think of it. He knows it all.
Yeah.
But in my human thinking, I was like, no, I can't let God know this part. And then the pain was so real. And I was afraid to face the pain because looking back at the pain was so terrifying,
yeah,
that all I could think to do was to continue to try and just mask it by acting certain ways and just living life as if it didn't happen. But it would always creep up. Even if I had a couple of months where I thought I was okay, it would always find its way back. And it had a destructive pattern in my life. And at the age of 30, I was like, now is enough.
Yeah.
So I went to a Christian counselor. And, you know, I mean, in my community where I grew up, counseling was like, okay, what's wrong with you? Something's really wrong with you that you're going to counseling. But I made the decision that I wanted to be free. So I found a Christian counselor.
Whatever it took.
Whatever it took.
Yeah.
She had me do something unique. She asked me, because at the age of 20, my mother had actually passed. So you fast forward those 10 years, mm-hmm, she said, I want you to write a letter to your mother, and I want you to sit down and talk to your father. And in that letter, I said everything to my mom that I was too afraid to say. Why did you do this to me? Why were you this way? And at that moment, I experienced a level of freedom that I didn't even think was possible. Hmm. I remember sitting and talking to my dad and saying to him, why didn't you protect me? You knew everything that was going on. And he apologized in that moment. And I said these words to both of them in the letter to my mom and in the conversation with my dad. I forgive you.
How hard was that?
It was so hard because I was saying something in that moment that my heart wasn't really sold out to. Yeah. But I was making the decision that day because I realized something, that my unforgiveness wasn't holding my mother in prison, who's no longer here, or my father in prison. It held me in prison, and I was ready to be free. So in that moment, every time a thought came back of unforgiveness, I would confess. I have forgiven them. They have no debt towards me. I have fully released them of it. For me, it was one thought, one action, one day at a time. And eventually, I was totally free. And had been free for the past 16 or so years from that moment.
So there were steps that you had to take.
Yeah.
I mean, God walks you through it. He never leaves us. But He does ask us to face some hard things.
He does.
So for you, it was getting help.
Yeah.
It was admitting what you were dealing with.
Right.
Forgiveness. Yeah. Was it also taking some responsibility for what you needed to do?
Well, that was the one thing that God pointed out to me in my time with Him during that moment when I was 30, is now it's time to stop blaming. You can no longer blame your mom's illness. You can no longer blame your dad for not being there the way you wanted him to, because you're a grown-up now. And the decisions that you've made have been your decisions. And Ginger, if I can say there was one thing that totally shifted the trajectory of my life, it was saying, these were my decisions, these things were my fault, and I am no longer a victim to life.
Wow, yeah.
At that moment, I began to walk life out in such a way that I took control by the power of God, and He has drastically changed everything over the past 16 years since then.
And there are a lot of people watching right now who need to do that also, as hard as it is. And it has to be so difficult.
When the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than the pain of change, or however that phrase goes, you will get to a place where you're ready to do something different. And that's where I was. And what I didn't realize was on the other side of all of the things that I wasn't willing to face, there was a destiny, there was a peace, there was a joy that I never thought was possible in my life. And now I have made the commitment with my life to make sure that everybody I come in contact can experience the same thing that I've experienced.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
This is my pleasure.
We really appreciate it. Because what Pastor Tony is saying is exactly what we all need to face. If you're asking that question, why do I continue to suffer? You need to ask those same questions and decide, are you at that point where you're ready to do whatever it takes to allow God to walk you through it? If you are, call us right now, because we have some things that will help you. And it is exactly what God's Word tells you to do. So we have some resources. One is this. It's called Moving Forward. It's 4 CD teachings from Joyce. And then you'll also receive free this little booklet that has some powerful stuff in it, 4 Steps to a New You. And this is, like I said, just taking God's Word. That's really what changes your life. And really opening it up so that you can understand how it can help you. There's more from Joyce. So here's the conclusion to Joyce's answer to the question, why do I continue to suffer?
The Bible talks about a group of people, about 1.5 million of them actually, as an estimate, who came out of Egypt, where they'd been slaves, headed for the Promised Land. It was 11 days from where they were to where God was calling them to, a land that flowed with milk and honey, a great land. But it took them 40 years to make an 11-day journey. Now, that to me is very sad. And not only did it take them 40 years to make an 11-day journey, only two people of the original 1.5 million that came out entered into the Promised Land. Now, others were born out there and others entered in, but out of that original group of 1.5 million, only two people made it. And I think that's kind of indicative of a percentage that we might want to look at today, of the number of people who maybe are born again. They're not in Egypt anymore. They're not living in sin. They're not officially slaves anymore. But they're always looking toward the promised land, but they end up just wandering around and around the same stupid mountains all their life, dealing with the same problems, having the same issues. Come on now. Does anybody here feel like you've been at your mountain long enough? The Israelites were a group of people who just never got it. There was only a few of them that really got it. They thought their whole problem was their enemies. The Jebusites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, ites. And you know what? We've all got our own ites. The husbandites, the wifeites, the kidites, the jobites, the trafficites, the economyites. They're just, the world is full of ites. But many, many years ago, I know God caused me to ponder this situation because it became the root foundation of a teaching that God allowed me to do that I really believe has opened a lot of people's eyes and helped them over the years. And that is that their problem wasn't their enemies, it was their attitude. Their problem wasn't their enemies, it was their bad attitude. It's possible that your problem is not really what you think your problem is. It's possible, just possible. I know it's an outside one-off chance, but it's just possible that you have a bad attitude. Now, I have four scriptures that I want to go over with you on the mind, because your thoughts become your words and your attitude. Your thoughts become your words and your attitude. How many of you understand that? What a man thinks is what he becomes. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Where your mind goes, the man follows. Somebody out there has been listening to me, I can tell. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. We want to look at these because I think it's important for you to see them. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self. Now he's saying, okay, you have a new nature, but now you have to put off the old nature, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusions. Delusions are lies that Satan tells us that we never bother to learn enough truth to refute those lies. And be constantly, everybody say constantly. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Turn to the person next to you, smile at them so they don't get mad at you, and say, get your attitude renewed. I don't know, that's far too funny, and I'm trying to be very serious. Now let's look at the next verse, because this always amazes me. And put on the new nature. Remember, he started by saying, put off the old nature. And now he's over here saying, put on the new nature. So he's actually over here saying, stop living like you're not saved. Start acting like Christ. But what is the bridge to get there? Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. So you're never going to change your life. You're never going to change your behavior till you change your thinking. Yes, I said you change your thinking. Now, we do nothing without God's help. God gets all the credit for any success that we ever have. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But neither is God going to do everything for us without us joining him with a faithful effort, leaning on the Holy Spirit, certainly leaning on the Holy Spirit, knowing we can't do it alone, but being determined that we are going to work with the Holy Spirit to be the person that God wants us to be.
So it's great news today, and I know that many of you are really hurting, but take hope. There may be some steps that you need to take, but the key is God does not want you to be stuck in your suffering, and He has made a way out for you through Christ. Now, those steps that I was talking about, we have some more helpful tips to walk you through that. First of all, we have Joyce's teaching called Moving Forward. It's 4 hours of teaching that says it's key life lessons that brought her from brokenness to wholeness. It's exactly what you may be looking for. And then for free, you'll get this booklet called 4 Steps to a New You. It is practical ways to move toward the life God has for you. So call, go on our website, pick these up today. They will make that difference in your life that you're looking for, because it's what God's Word says. He is faithful, you can trust Him, and you can depend on Him. Now, we know that you have a lot to say about this topic and many others. We love listening to you. So right now, it's time for your voice. Well, as we know, part of the process of overcoming pain is getting our mind off ourselves and helping someone else. And recently, you shared with us on social media how God is using you to help others. Here are some examples. Stephanie from Alabama says, God used me to take care of hospice patients for about 28 years. That's awesome. Gwendolyn, God is using me to help women recover from childhood sexual abuse by running a recovery program in our community. Those are great things. Karen says something that's a little bit more simple that probably most of us could do. Using my computer and printer to find and print out math games for a coworker's kids who needs extra help in math at home. That's great. And then Margaret from California says, God has me pray for those who ask for prayer on Facebook. Well, there you have it, some great examples. And if you need prayer, go to Facebook. Margaret and a lot of other people will be praying for you. We don't have a question for you this week, but instead we have a request that you take just a moment to share some encouraging words to help other people who are in the midst of suffering themselves. Whatever it is, maybe it's something that's helped you, maybe it's a scripture, but just get on there and let's encourage each other. On Facebook, it's the Joyce Meyer Ministries Facebook page. If you're on Twitter, use hashtag EA for Everyday Answers. And please join us next time on Everyday Answers.
God wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to be involved in literally everything that you do. Now listen, God cares about everything that concerns you.
Don't forget those questions. We love getting those. On Twitter, use hashtag AskJoyce. You can also ask your questions on Facebook. And we really pray that today you'll just enjoy your day, you'll have a wonderful, encouraging day, and that you'll join us next time as we tackle more of those daily dilemmas and get answers from God's Word.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.